This week's parsha is Parshas Achrei Mos, Kedoshim. And in Parshas Achrei Mos, there's a very famous line in a pasuk, a part of the pasuk that I'd like to discuss today. The pasuk in its totality says, "Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishabtem Ba Lo Yisasu." This is in Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Aleph and Beis, that and Gimel. So when it says, "Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishabtem Ba Lo Yisasu," "Uchemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Yisasu," "Uvuchukaseim Lo Yiseleichu," the activities that you saw in Eretz Mitzrayim, don't follow. Don't follow the practices of Eretz Mitzrayim. There is terrible things going on there, and I don't want you to repeat that. Also, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to see things that the nations of Eretz Yisrael, the Shivas Ha'amim in Eretz Yisrael, are doing in Eretz Canaan, and I don't want you to follow that either. So those are talking about the specific maisim, the practices that you're going to, or that you have already witnessed, the decadent behavior, the immoral behavior, the conduct of Avodah Zarah, all these types of things I don't want you to follow. And then the Pasuk says in Pasuk Gimel, "Uvuchaseim leiseleichu," and you should not follow their traditions, b'chukaseim. You should not follow their traditions. Not only should you not follow the Mais Eretz Mitzrayim and the Mais Eretz Canaan, but also you're not supposed to follow the traditions, the chukais of those lands. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says to explain what this means. What does this mean? Traditions. What did the pasuk already leave unspoken? It already said everything. It got very explicit about what not to do and what not to practice. Why is it now saying, "B'chukaseim leiseleicha"? What is that referring to? Ela elo nemusei shalahen. These are the deeply ingrained customs, the traditions, the pastimes of the Goyim. And Rashi brings very specific examples, kigain tartiyos vatzdiyos, like the theaters, like the stadiums that they used to have in the olden days. They wouldn't go to baseball games or tennis games or hockey games. Those didn't exist then, to our knowledge, but they had gladiators. They would watch people battle each other, or maybe later they would have bullfighting, and they still have that in certain countries, that they watch bulls get killed. That was very enjoyable. And that was something that is it's not a maisa of Eretz Mitzrayim, it's a chukah, it's a pastime, it's something that they enjoyed. It had entertainment value, it was something that was fun, or it was interesting, or it had an excitement to it. That's something that the pasuk is telling us also, leisasu, uvuchukaseim leisech, don't follow in those chukais and those minhagim, those traditions that the gayim that you're going to be living together with practice, that also the Torah is saying you're not allowed to do that, strongly cautioning us against that. Rav Meir Rashi says, "Elo darchei amayri shamanu chachamim." These are like the superstitious practices that the Amayroim used to do. The Amayri nation was one of the nations in Eretz Canaan, and they practiced a lot of superstitious behavior. Like the equivalent today would be not, getting nervous when a black cat crosses your path, or walking under a ladder. These are types of things that have no place in a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart. This is a Gayisha way of doing things. This is how Gayim see things in a superstitious manner. This is how Gayim enjoy their lives, by following certain entertainment, sports, theater, culture. These are not Jewish minhagim. These are not Jewish minhagim and Jewish practices and things that we should be holding near and dear to our hearts and to our lifestyles, but rather these are the chukais of the Gayim. Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz of the Mir in his Sefer Das Taira, which is, by the way, one of the most beautiful Svarim ala Taira. I gave many, many years of Vadin on the Das Taira. I always come back to it, like every few years I want to go back to it again because it's very current and it's very beautiful. It was really, interestingly enough, the Das Taira was written for Bachrim that were from Germany, America. Rabbi Yeruchim was in Poland. The Mir was in Poland at the time. And most of the Polish, Lithuanian Bachrim, they were already very accomplished Talmidei Chachamim by the time they got to the Mir, and they were already holding on a very high level. But many of the German Bachrim, the Bachrim that came from Germany, the Bachrim that came from America, they needed a little bit more in terms of hashkafa, in terms of hadracha, and so Rabbi Yeruchim gave special vadin just for them. And these vadin were primarily on Chumash and Rashi. They were built on that, and from there he developed a very unique hashkafas hachayim for these talmidim. And these notes of these shiurim, of those chaburas that were given by Rabbi Yeruchim to the chutznikim, I would call them. They weren't really, Poland was also chutznikim, but when I was in Kol Torah, like us Americans and British and whatever, we were called the chutznikim. So we got also some special shiurim from the Rosh Yeshiva. So that was sort of what they were doing back there in Yeruchim's time, Rabbi Yeruchim's time in the Mir. And so these shiurim are very, they're very simple in the sense that they're not long shtiklach like Rabbi Yeruchim's other svarim, a very page after page after page of musar. This is all very bite-sized, very simple to digest musar, and it's very practical and it's very beautiful. So today we're going to give you a little bit of a sampling of that, and hopefully it'll whet your appetite to explore the beautiful Torah and five chalakim of Sefer Das Taira of Rabbi Yeruchim. We have it downstairs in the Beis Medrash. So Rabbi Yeruchim says on this pasuk that the Maiser Eretz Mitzrayim Leisasu, that's the Etzem HaMaisim, that's the actual activity. Don't do anything that's immoral. Don't follow the actual Maisim of the Gayim. That's strictly forbidden. But Uva Chukaiseyim means a Lashon of Lachakais. Lachakais means to imitate, to mimic. Don't mimic the Gayim's lifestyle and their Panimia Shalagai, the instincts of the guy, the base conduct and enjoyment, fulfillment of a guy is not a Yid's destiny in life. The Pu'ula and the Maisa already the tzaitza of the pnime pnimius of a guy, says Rabbi Yeruchim, meaning a guy has an instinct, a guy has a very unique way of looking at things. What excites a guy? What is interesting to him? What does he like doing in his spare time? And from that starts germinating and spreading into more base immoral activities. So the Torah first tells us, don't do those base activities. That's for sure, Asur. But don't even start out on the path of a guy, because if you start out and even, you know, rub elbows with Gayim in terms of what they're doing and their stadiums and their theaters and their instincts and their what gets them going, that should not be what excites us. Because if it does, then it's a slippery slope and we're going to continue to follow the paths and the actual practices that are immoral and strictly usur and totally usur of the Gayim. And I think that if we examine ourselves, and I'm not talking about anybody in the room but myself, I think that if we examine ourselves carefully and honestly, we would find that we do have, and it's not our fault, we grew up in America, but or in European or in Western European countries, we grew up with a certain Geyishkeit in us, if you may. And I'll give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael were zeicha to the Geula in Mitzrayim because they didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their names, their Jewish names, and they didn't change their language. They always spoke a certain language. Now we, you know, I don't know if we can. I think we've basically struck out on all three, right? Very often we have Gaisha names. Very often, you know, even if we don't use them, but on our birth certificate and, you know, when we're, you know, Gaisha names, we dress very much, many of us, you know, like the Gaim dress. We dress with, you know, the regular Western clothing is pretty much what we wear. And also, we don't speak a Jewish language. We speak English. That's our first language. That's our mother tongue. You know, Hasidim, they get this right. They dress a different way, and they speak Yiddish, and they have Jewish names. They get it right, and that's why Hasidim are Baruch Hashem very successful. There's so many, and they Baruch Hashem they're just growing and multiplying and getting stronger and more powerful, and they're really a picture of success in Galus. And it's fascinating, by the way, also just parenthetically, that it's Goyim have a lot of respect, I think, for Hasidim, because they don't mind if a Yid looks like a Yid. Then, you know, they respect that. But it's when a Yid tries to start imitating the Goyim, that's when the Goyim push back. This is found in a lot of Sfarim, Rabbi Chanan, etc. But the more distinct that we make ourselves from the Goyim, ironically, the Goyim respect us more. There's a great story about Rabbi Dr. Abraham Chorsky, who was a very famous, he was a Hasidic Yid from a big Yichus, the Chorsky Yichus, the Chernobyl Yichus, and he was a leading psychiatrist. Very interesting story how he ended up going to medical school. But anyway, he became a leading psychiatrist in America, very famous for addictions. And he wrote many, many books. He says that his specialty is addictions. He says he has an addiction of his own. He's addicted to writing books. And it's true. He wrote I don't want to say a number because I probably get it totally, you know, too little, but maybe 80, 90 books he published in his lifetime. Every year, Arts Girl published, and he had a whole series of Charlie Brown. He did a Schutfest together with Charles Schultz, who wrote the Charlie Brown series, and he'd use his, you know, his cartoons with his psychology, and they, you know, they had a shidduch between the two, anyway, he was a very, very famous psychiatrist, and he told a story. He was nifter, I think, during COVID, if I'm not mistaken, and he told a story that once he was in an elevator with this old Jewish woman, a secular Jewish woman, and she starts screaming at him, you know, how do you, how dare you walk around this? Because we're in America now. You're looking so Jewish, and you know we're not in Eastern Europe anymore, circa the 1700s. You have to get with a program, start wearing, you know. And he was just listening to this, and then he says, you know, and he had a perfect English. He said, "Excuse me, you know, young woman, I'm not Jewish. I am a Amish. I am a member of the Amish sect." And so she's, "Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. You know, I have so much respect for you. You know, you're sticking to your customs. You're sticking to your traditions. It's a beautiful thing. God bless you." And then he says, "Well, chutzpah." He says, for Amish, it's okay, but for a Yid, it's not. But, you know, there is a, you know, there, it's not like a person that would actually look Jewish and act Jewish in America, you know, would, they respect that. They respect that. It's something fine. It's just that it bothers them when Jews start acting Gayish. That's actually what provokes Gayim to push back. The Beis HaLevi speaks about this at length as well. It's interesting, though, that those are three of the things that saved us from the Galus and Mitzrayim. But there's actually a Medrash that there was a fourth thing, and that is Shleishinu es Ma'achalam. They didn't change their food. Yidden always, believe it or not, they always had a special Jewish cuisine. I don't know if it was matzo balls back in the time or gefilte fish or things like that. Probably something more Eastern, more Sephardi type of foods. But they always had their own unique types of machalim. And that's another thing that we fall very short of. And I'm the biggest consumer of pizza probably in the world. You know, pizza, sushi, Chinese, it's all, you know, I'm a big fan. But if you I'm not talking about what we do. I'm talking about just stepping back a little bit and examining what we do from a little bit of a bird's eye view. It's basically, you know, we are constantly imitating what Goyim are doing, what Goyim are consuming, what Goyim are wearing, what Goyim are watching, what Goyim are... We're basically doing exactly what this pasuk is begging us not to do. I'm not saying what we're going to do about it, but I'm just pointing out something that's very, very... It should bother us a little bit. And if anyone thinks, well, you know, I'm not influenced by the Goyim, Baruch Hashem, I'm a Yid through and through, and I'm not influenced, I just would ask you one question. Does Sunday feel any different than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Friday, I don't know what it is. But what about Sunday? Sunday is something, in Eretz Yisrael, Sunday is a regular work day. People are running to work on Sundays. People are going to yeshiva whole day on Sunday, to kailam on Sunday. Sunday's a regular, Shabbos is Shabbos. Sunday's not Sunday. Sunday's not a thing. But if you grew up in America, I don't care where you're from, Sunday is a different, there's a different avira in the air. Why? Not just because you don't have to go to work on Sunday, not just because there's no banks open, because Sunday is a day that's like, it's like a day that's mufka from the rest of the week. So yeah, it's not, I don't have, it's a little more laid back, could do my own thing at my own schedule, go to a later minyan, you know, this and that, eat a fancier breakfast, and, you know, that's not a Jewish thing. There's no such thing in the Torah as Sunday being a yontif. It's not a Yom HaDepagra Sunday. Sunday's a regular day. Sunday's a day, yeah, it's one of the Sheshet Yamei HaMaisa. You got to start doing whatever you're doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're supposed to be doing on Sunday. Sunday's a regular day. Sunday is not a day that we should, you know, whatever the Sidrei Yeshiva are, it shouldn't change. The reality is that it is different. And the reason why it's different is because we grew up here and we're influenced by the surroundings. You know, around the holiday season, and I don't even want to talk about it, but, you know, you drive through Manhattan and there's like these, you know, the trees are all lit up and whatever. And it has a, you know, you can either, ugh, it's disgusting, it's gayish, but a lot of us, like, it's nice, you know, it's a nice time of year, it's beautiful. There's a chain to it because we're influenced by Goyim. We have, if we grew up in America, we're influenced very much by the Chukas HaGoyim. I remember when I was in Chaim Berlin, I was very close to Aaron Schechter, and I was zeichet to eat by him many times on Shabbos and Yantip. So as Rebbetzin and I were very close also, and one time I came in on Friday night, and the table was all set for Shabbos, of course, and there was bottles of Coca-Cola on the table, and she had taken a razor, the Rebbetzin, and cut out, you know, I'll say it, Santa Claus from the, you know, it was on that time of year, it was, you know, the winter, and there's a big picture of him on it, so she took a razor and cut it all out. So I said, you know, I was just joking with her, I said, Rebbetzin, like, you know, why'd you do that? So she says, one long white beard at the table is enough. But, you know, but it's not even, you know, but that's the way it should be. We should be bothered by it. You know, we might drink Coke if that guy is on it, or if there's, you know, trees on it or whatever. It might not stir us too much, but it should. If we really had a Jewish heart and a Jewish instinct, then it would bother us. The problem is that we don't. We have a lot inside of us that is unfortunately very tainted and very compromised and very influenced by the society, by the culture, by the galus around us. That's one of the great tragedies of being in galus, that we don't even chap that we're in galus sometimes, because we're so relaxed, we're so comfortable, we feel at ease, and we feel like it's our culture also, it's our society also. That's always the big, you know, discussion by Thanksgiving. It always, generally, it becomes like a discussion about whether or not, you know, it's Avodah Zarah or not, to eat the turkey, what was the original Suda, you know, with the pilgrims, was it an Abay Dezara thing? Was it just Aidat Hashem? That's I think, but there's the basic problem with a Thanksgiving meal, whether or not you do it or you don't, whether you eat turkey or not, it's not really what we're talking about right now. But the reality is if you're making a special Suda on Thanksgiving with a turkey, I don't care, you know, whether it's mutter or asr, but there is a feeling of being Gayish at that Suda. It's not a Yontif meal, it's not a Shabbos meal, it's not a Chanukah meal, it's not a Suda, it's not a Suda's mitzvah. And by doing so, you know, you're basically embracing the culture of the people that we're living in, and that's a Chukas HaGay issue. Again, I'm not telling you what you should do, what you shouldn't, what I should do, but it's just important sometimes to take stock a little bit of the realities on the ground, and then we could, once we're brutally honest, then we can, if we want, make changes in our life and try to a little bit, you know, strengthen ourselves in this regard. But first we have to, like, be honest with ourselves and look in a mirror and say, do I actually have a little bit of a guy or a lot of a guy inside of me? Revolbi in the Alei Shur actually says this in a beautiful way. He says that in the Birchas HaShachars, we start off after Hashanas L'Sech Vivina, we have three brachas, Shalei Asani Goy, Shalei Asani Oved, and Shalei Asani Isha. And Pasha, these are brachas. We thank Hashem. It's a, you know, a bracha that we're making, thanking Hashem that you didn't make me into a guy. You didn't make me into a woman. You didn't make me an Eved. Thank you. It's a beautiful thing. Revolbi says it's not just the bracha though. If you're doing it the right way and you have an eye towards being honest, it's really like an inspection. It's like a diagnostic test of where you're holding in life. Like before you make the bracha of Shalei Asani Goy, he says, ask yourself, is that true? I know technically, I know biologically, I know yichus wise, I'm not a guy. But am I not a guy, he says. Ask yourself, am I not a shtickle guy? Do I not have a guyish mentality inside of me? Do I not find chayin in some of the things that the guyim do? And then when he says a similar thing by Shalei Asani Oved, he says, is it true I'm really a free man? I mean, I'm not in jail, it's true, but I'm not meshubed to my taivas. I don't go crazy I'm not totally imprisoned by the taivas and the technology. If I, you know, what happens if, like, let's say you leave your phone at home, you leave your phone in the car, you start, you know, you get clammy, like I have to run back, I have to do that. You know, we're meshuvah, we need it. It's like a part. It's like why we're wired to it. We have we're addicted to certain technologies and certain enjoyments, certain entertainments, and. That's a question. So he says it's a question. Don't just rattle off those brachas in the morning. Ask yourself. He says, Shalei Asani Isha. Also, there are certain things that women do that sometimes, I forgot exactly what he said there, but, you know, there are certain things that women do that, you know, I would say we're guilty of. You know, we look in the mirror and we brush our hair and we, maybe we're too into our clothing sometimes. We're too into, different things that we're a little bit too into. That's not for a man. A man is supposed to be into Torah, into Avaida, into a woman is interested in the chitzainius, and we get sometimes very into chitzainius. Remember, I once heard a shmuz from a shashiva, Reb Yitzchok Feigelstock in Long Beach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he would speak to us about, like, Long Beach guys at the time, I don't know what they are today, but then they had, like, a reputation of being, like, a little too into their appearance, their clothing. And he was speaking about, like, starched shirts. Says, you know, today it's not such a big deal. But, you know, then it was, like, very important, you know, when you got a shirt, you went to the cleaners and you got it. You could get it double starch and triple starch. Starched shirts, like, what are you so concerned about, the shirts being starched? And, you know, it's not something that should be important to us. So if a woman is into, you know, how exactly the dress is and the dry cleaning, and that, but, you know, a man, it should be clean. It should be, you don't have to get so into the particulars of every single, you know, but we do that. So these are questions in the morning. Birchas HaShachar, we wake up and we obviously we have to make the bracha even if we're guilty as charged, but it's also, it gives us pause and starts making us think about these issues. Am I not a meshubet to my taibis? Am I not a guy in a certain sense? You know, the stadiums that Rashi speaks about, you know, are, you know, sports stadiums. Sports stadiums are, you know, I'm not saying, you know, whether it's mutter or usser to go to a sports game. And, you know, when I was a bacher, I was never a big spectator, so I like playing sports. And by the way, this is not sports, you know, to play sports is a very good thing. No one, I don't think anyone would tell you that it's usser and it's chukas agai. It's exercise. Exercise is very good. It's important to have exercise. It's important to play sports. And team sports is very good. It teaches you a lot of midas and a lot of achdus, and it's a good thing. But in terms of being a spectator, and I know many Gedali Yisrael, you know, were big spectators, big fans. You know, they say famously about Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, I don't know if it's true or not, but I hope he doesn't mind me saying it. But, you know, he supposedly, I don't know, a lot of these are legends. I do know that he was a great stickball player, maybe handball player growing up. They had a nickname for him. He was very, very, very good in sports growing up. And he was a big Yankee fan, is what they say. And supposedly he said that he wanted to make a Kiddush one Shabbos. I don't know if he did or he didn't, or if the whole story is true in the first place, but he wanted to make a Kiddush because it was the first time that he heard that the Yankees won the World Series, and it didn't have it didn't make a reishim on him. He didn't get even, like, his heart rate didn't start, like, running a little quicker. And he said that was a big accomplishment. But it shows how ingrained this culture is in all of us. Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, it's hard to find a bigger gain in learning, a bigger gadol b'Yisrael, a bigger lamdan. But even he was very influenced by, you know, and he grew up in America when things were a lot cleaner, a lot more innocent. But it's something that's definitely, it's chukah, it's deep, it's like chayk is a lashon of, like, to have something like a chak teiches, like it's ingrained in us. Something that's deeply ingrained in us, and it's very hard to uproot. This is the way we were raised, and in certain ways, maybe sports saved us from a lot of things that are worse. I think Rebbe Yisrael once said that American Jewry was saved by sports because, you know, Bachram, instead of being involved with Taivis and things like that, so they put their extracurricular activities and passions into sports. I heard that once, b'shem Rebbe Yisrael. But what's wrong exactly with sports? Besides for, obviously, today it's very hard to go to a game in the summer and for there to be, you know, tznius in the, you're always surrounded by inappropriately dressed people. So that's definitely something that, you know, that we have to be careful about. But I'll give you, I went once to a game. I didn't go to many, many baseball games. Maybe I went to 10 baseball games my whole life. But one game, and if you're a Mets fan, you probably know which game this is. And I've had Mets fans, as Talmidim, when I sit over this maisa, like, they knew right away which game it is. Any Mets fans here, by the way? No. Okay, good. So I was at a Mets game with a good friend of mine. He got free tickets. That's always like a Jewish dilemma, you know, free tickets to a chukas agai. So, you know, that's a big shayla. But so we went, and it was like a game, like a pennant game to get into the World Series. And it went into extra innings. I think they say that it might be the best baseball game in history of baseball. The Shea Stadium, now it's Citi Field, back then it was called Shea Stadium, which they knocked down to build Citi Field. It was shaking. You could literally, it felt like an earthquake. Every single pitch was electric, and everyone was on their feet. And finally, the Mets, it was going into extra innings, and we went back and forth. Finally, the Mets got a home run, and the place erupted. Like, it was not, I can't describe the electricity. And like I was standing next to like an Italian, like a real Italian guy, like who was sitting right next to me, and like I came like within a centimeter of like giving the guy a huge something. We just like sort of stopped each other, stopped ourselves at the last second. But like there's something, you know, that's very, it's sort of like the great equalizer. It makes you and the guy I'm around you into like one, you know, one community, one society. And then there's of course the wave. You know, people are getting up and all of a sudden, like, because the guy next to me gets up and goes and acts like a behemoth, I also have to, you know, I have to do the same exact thing. Like, but that's what it means, chukas hagai. Like, where does a yid have the audacity to just like start acting like a complete and utter guy? It's enough we do it, you know, bitsinna, like with taivas and things, but I have to do it before I have to like go to a public game and start, you know, and start, you know, mamish, you know, acting out on, you know, it's, and this is the slippery slope. This is the danger that the Torah in this week's parasha is describing of chukas hagayim, of being very careful about what we're doing and how closely related we're becoming to the gayim surrounding us by doing these activities, whether sometimes they're very subtle and we don't even see it, we don't even understand it, it's hard to even describe, it's so like benign, but from benign things start to metastasize and get a lot more serious. I'll just end with a very famous tshuva of the Nei Rabbi Yehuda that I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago in by Shalashudas, so if you were here, you forgive me. But there's Nei Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to look it up, it's in Yerideya Tinyana Siman Yud. And the Nei Rabbi Yehuda was asked a question by somebody that owned a very big estate, a very wealthy man with a big estate, and he had like acres and acres, maybe dozens, maybe hundreds of acres of property. And back then, they didn't have, you know, basketball and football and sports and, I don't know, whatever, pickleball. So basically, what they do, if you were a gevir and you had a big property, if, at least if you were a gayish or gevir, you'd go hunting. Hunting was the pastime of the times of the Nei Rabbi Yehuda. And he asked the Shah, Nei Rabbi Yehuda, is it mutter for me to go hunting? You know, what is it? Can I go hunting? Like as a yid, asking a question, Nei Rabbi Yehuda, can I go hunting? So the Nei Rabbi Yehuda Kedarkai, and like all Paiskim, you know, would, they break down the Shaila into its components, and they discuss whether or not there's an issue of Tzar Bal Chayim. So he makes a case that it's not Tzar Bal Chayim because you're killing the animal. If you're killing the animal, it's not Tzar Bal Chayim. He proves it. And then he says, what about Bal Tashchis? He says, well, you're going to probably be using, you're not just shooting the animal dead and walking away. You're probably going to be, you know, taking the hides off the animal. You're going to mount the head on your fireplace, maybe. You know, you're going to do stuff with it. So that's not Bal Tashchis. But then he ends the tshuva, and this is why the tshuva is so famous, not because, you know, people want to know whether they should go hunting or not, but he ends like this. He says, "Va'nachnu ma'odani tama." I'm sorry, "Va'amnam." But you'll forgive me, but I don't understand the whole question. I'm like, I'm puzzled, I'm mystified by the very essence of your question. Why? We don't find anyone that's a hunter. The two hunters that I'm thinking of when I think of a hunter, says Nei Rabbi Yehuda, is Nimrod and Esav, two of the biggest Rishonim in history. The Einze Darke Bnei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov. This is not the path of the Aves Hakadosh Avraham Yitzchak. You're not going to find Avraham Yitzchak going hunting. V'lachena Shemea Li Yishkain Beta Chashket V'Shan V'Vesa. You want to listen to me, even after I was matir hunting for you. But if you're going to take my advice, you know, non-letter of the law, but spirit of the law, then you'll take my advice and sit at home, Betach Hashkeit v'shanan, chill, relax, be comfortable, be, you know, in your zone. V'lo yayivad zmane b'dvarim keilan. Don't waste your time on such matters. The reason why this is such a landmark tshuva in the Nei Rabbi Yehuda is because this is really talking to us. That sometimes, you know, yeah, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with going to a baseball game? You know, it's fine, it's fun, it's summertime, it's nice, it's clean, it's, you know, I get, there's kosher food there. I could buy today at Shea Stadium, Yankee Stadium, a lot of stadiums around the country, I can get kosher, you know, Starkey hot dogs and hamburgers and fries and, you know, what's wrong? It's a beautiful thing, this is amazing. And you're going to ask me, like, what's wrong? What's wrong is one thing. The only thing that's wrong with it on a technical level, maybe on a technical level besides for the pretzels, maybe you'll say nothing. The only problem is that it's not a Jewish thing to do. It's not the derech of Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's all. And if a person can like sort of figure out his life by that question, by whatever we do, ask ourselves, is this something that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would do, or is this something that Esav and Nimrod would do? Is this something that a Yid would do? Like, I'm not talking about I'm talking about a real Yid. Is this something that a Gadol Yisrael would be comfortable with? Or is it not something that a Gadol Yisrael would be comfortable with? If we could only try to do that, to make our lives fit into that, you know, split screen of Yid versus Guy, of Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov versus Nimrod ve'Esav, if we could figure out that, everything that we do in our lives would be sort of through that prism and through that filter of, is this a Yiddish Zach or is it a Gaish Zach? Then we would be able to, I think, be a lot closer to what our Messiah really was. This is not something that, I don't think in Europe throughout the ages, or in Morocco throughout the ages, or in any place that Yidden lived, Russia, I don't think Yidden would ever have a havamina of going to a stadium. I don't think it would ever be. I don't think it would ever happen. It just wouldn't be shayach. They wouldn't. It wasn't a Jewish thing to do. There were things that Goyim would do, and then there were things that Jews would do. Jews would not go to a. There wouldn't even be a question. But in our Gullus, it became not just something that we would do, but you know, but we brag about it. We show off about it. We'll get courtside seats and be on the on tell you see Yidden sometimes, you know, in courtside seats with yarmulkes on it. It's not a Jewish thing, whether it's us or not, that you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but it's not something that is a Jewish thing. And when something is not a Jewish thing, and it therefore might be a Gaisha thing, it's something that as Yidden we should recoil from. We should like at least take a step back and say, I'm not comfortable doing this. Doesn't mean that we should stop eating pizza or Chinese or whatever, but at least we should think, Taka, you know, why am I so attracted to these types of machalim? Why am I attracted to wearing a certain type of clothing? Why am I attracted to, you know, to a certain style of music? And I'm not even talking about Gaisha music. Gaisha music is horrible for its own reasons, but even Jewish music is Gaish, much of it. But the answer is because we're affected by Goyim. That's the simple and, I think, undeniable answer. And as Yidden, as Bnei Torah, we have to, like think about this a little bit. This is just giving ourselves, myself especially, homework just to think about what we're doing with our lives, the lifestyles that we're leading, and if there's any ways that we could tweak it in any which way to make it a little more Yiddish, to make it a little bit more, you know, in line with what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov looking at us would be happy that we're doing and be comfortable with what we're doing and be proud of what we're doing. It's Hashem, we should be zeichet to getting close to our Messiah, close to Masi Hagiyum, Maisla, Maisa, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We should all have a beautiful Shabbos, and thank you so much for coming.